Greetings, everyone. This is Jonathan Alexander, editor of College Composition and Communication, and I'm delighted to be here today with Tara Wood, author of Cripping Time in the College Composition Classroom. Joining me also is Jens Lloyd, editorial assistant for the journal. Tara, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So I always like to begin by asking our authors to say a little bit about what the article is about and how you came to do this particular line of research.
Yes, so I feel like I've been thinking about this topic for like 50 years, but I suppose it's only been a few. When I was working as a TA in first year writing, this sort of opening years of my PhD program, and I was reading a lot and really interested in disability studies and disability theory. And in tandem with that, I was also, of course, teaching first year writing, and I would receive accommodation letters letting me know that my students had access to things like extended time on exams and note takers and reduced distraction environments. And I found myself sort of frustrated about what that meant for the context of a writing classroom and thinking that it was futile. So, of course, that doesn't mean that I teach in some sort of access utopia where obviously no accommodations necessary. I'm so student-centered, it's okay. So I started to think about what accommodations might look like in writing classrooms. Mm. And I realized about halfway through the study that I was more interested in access than I was in thinking through accommodation, if that makes sense, a little bit of a difference there. So instead of imagining what an accommodation might look like in a writing classroom, I just wanted to think about what access means in a writing classroom. And in my teaching experience, the most successful, or the moments I felt the most proud of access happening in my classrooms were moments where students and I negotiated access together, where both of us had some agent of control over imagining access or inclusion. So I set about this qualitative research project to solicit the perspectives of students with disabilities, what worked for them in terms of accommodation in the context of a writing classroom, what didn't, what barriers did they experience, what did they wish they could tell their writing teachers and or writing program administrators. And I started talking to them, and that's how I came to this concept, or to drawing on this concept of cripping time.
It's really interesting. I love the sort of critical differentiation you might make between access and accommodation. Accommodations, while extremely important, so seems like we are doing things to make people or allow people to fit a particular norm. Whereas interrogating access sounds like we're questioning the norms by which we do business. Is that roughly right? Or
yeah, I'd say that's spot on. I mean, both words, access and accommodation, are obviously really, really heavy, really weighted terms that have all kinds of different meanings. So I think for me, the difference in my work and starting to understand the difference in my work was about setting myself and my brain free from being wed to a traditional campus disability services model of what it means to create access. And like you just said, that in no way discounts the importance of things like campus disability services and official documentation of disability, but they can be different things and even sometimes a little bit contradictory. So yeah, I think that it's an important distinction.
So give me an example then. What does negotiating access look like on the ground? And how might that allow you, in the words of your article, to crip time?
Yeah, so I can give you an example. I'll try to think of one that I don't use in the piece, just to throw out something a little extra. So I think I mentioned in the piece that early in my study, after I had secured my IRB approval and that sort of thing, and I sought out a meeting with the official campus disability services. And one of the things that I threw out there as an option, because I was still thinking accommodation, was, well, could we create an accommodation letter that comes from your office that lists extended time on essay assignment? Okay, sort of a parallel to the exam kind of notion. And as I said in the article, it was like a pretty hard no-go. Students will take advantage of this. And not a semester later, I had a student that I was working with in a first year writing classroom. And she had an issue arise because of illness. And we ended up, I sent her an email offering her an extended, basically, scaffold of deadlines. And she responded back by letting me know essentially which aspect of it wouldn't work for her and which aspect made sense for the material conditions of her life at that time. And so even though I had pitched it, she had written back. We never even needed to involve Campus Disability Service. And both of us had a say, me bringing my expertise on what I thought would work for the particular assignment and her bringing what she knew about her own body and mind and her own limits at that time. So it's a simple example, but it was just a conversation with a student where we both came to it with our own expertise, if you will, and we were able to create the opportunity for her to be successful in that particular course.
Yeah, it's fascinating. Jim?
Yeah. Well, Tara, thanks so much for the article. I mean, what I really appreciated was kind of what you showcased in that last answer about kind of just these real kind of practical ways where we as writing instructors can kind of just rethink our assumptions about time and how, from the way we structure assignments, the way we structure a class session, how there are just these really built-in assumptions about time. So it was really productive for me to read it, and it's given me a lot to think about. But I'm wondering if you could give us maybe some insight into the process of putting this article together. You've talked about, the research that you did. You obviously weave in your own pedagogy, and then you weave in the disability studies material. So I'm wondering if you could just kind of pull the curtain back and maybe give us some insight into the process of drafting and revising this and taking it all the way to publication. Was there anything particularly challenging, or was there some aspect that you were really happy with the way things kind of came together? Just kind of, give us some insights into how this thing came together as a piece of writing.
Yes. Well, thank you for the nice, kind kudos. I appreciate that. And I would say the challenge that I had in sort of orchestrating the piece is really easy to speak to. And that is that methodologically, I really wanted to hold true to this idea of nothing about us without us, the sort of mantra of the disability rights movement. And I felt like my biggest innovation in approaching this work was foregrounding the voices of these students, and I felt really proud of that. And it ended up being a little bit, I don't know, it even is like hard for me to voice this right now, but it ended up hurting me in some ways because my piece became huge block quotes and just letting those quotes stand on their own, which we always tell students, like, sandwich the quote, follow it up. But I was trying so hard to make sure that that's what spoke most loudly in my piece, that in some way it ended up making me elide my own contribution and sort of synthesis and analysis of the work. So that was my challenge, finding the right balance between foregrounding those voices in a very like practical word count way, but also allowing myself the latitude to speak back to those and offer some insight and connect it to some of the theory that I used.
You might say that you weren't using quotations just to accommodate different voices, but actually cripping access to an academic article.
Oh, you're good. You're good. Yes, that's totally it.
That's why I'm the editor.
I like it.
This is wonderful. Tara, thank you so much for joining us. You can read Tara Wood's article, Cripping Time in the College Composition Classroom, in the December 2017 issue of CCC. Thank you again, Tara.
Thank you.